Briscoe. All right, so again, I have work of a speaker before me tonight. And I love to be brief. We are fasting so that people can take a meal and rest their bodies. Again, tomorrow in the morning, we would want to have everyone practice that same culture of holding the morning devotions. And it's necessary that we give an ample time for rest to ensure that. 2 Timothy, again, I'll speak from there. Paul the Apostle, amen, says to the Scriptures, it says, are given to make us knowledgeable. The word wise there says unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we say salvation goes, refers to much more than having belief. You know, that's that first time believing, you know. You preach the gospel to someone, the person believes, you see, the fellow is saved. Regular services, we've been looking at on Sundays, we've been taking that study on salvation, so you can immediately relate. It says, once a man believes the gospel, he is saved. And so, you know, there's that Bible concept of being saved. Saved from sins, redeemed, you know, from sins and the penalty, the consequence of sins, spiritual death. So it's easy to ask someone and say, are you saved? And the person says yes. And rightly, the person is saved. If the person, or since the person has believed that of a truth, Christ rose from the dead, being the Son of God, died for our sins, the sin of humanity, his or has particularly, and is risen from the dead forevermore at the right hand of God. We see the Spirit of God dwells in his or her heart. So we say the person is saved. And, you know, that is right. Only that we are also expected to see in Scriptures that that is not all there is to salvation. We said yesterday night, there is then a walking in it. Ecclesia, we saw expectation upon, you know, your head as it were. Expectation upon our lives, which also stems from salvation, or is present in salvation. Earlier on in the session today, I borrowed a word, I used that word encounter to explain that, you know, contact with the gospel. That contact that a man has when the gospel is preached or made available to be believed. When he believes, we call that first contact, or I called it having an encounter. Are we together? We said, when properly handled, it ought to lead to a resolving, resolution, solving of the identity challenge. Definitely, which is as a result of the mannerisms, the lifestyle that the fellow has had in the world before he or she came in contact with the gospel. There's a thought pattern. Luke will render it in Luke 24. He says, and that repentance and remissions of sins. So he calls it remissions of sins. He says it's as a result of repentance. Now, one is the result of the other. Even though, you know, so the repentance, are we together? Are we together? Is the result, amen, of the remissions of sins. What is preached is the remission of sins. What happens is that the fellow repents. So there is what he is repenting from, metanoio, which means to change your mind or to now see things in a different way. It means to take a U-turn in the mind. Meta. Meta means away. Noio from the word nous, which means mindset. So to have a mindset away from, to have a change of mindset. A change of mindset. Are we together? Metanoio. That's the word repentance. So there is what you are being turned away from. There is what you are being changed from. So it says we will preach remission of sins and men will repent. Are we together? So why is there repentance? Or from what is man repenting from? From the old ideology. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations. Those are the works, you know, in the mind. There are works in the mind of man. Casting down imaginations. He will say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, the gospel is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their mind. So there is a work on the mind. Are we together? He calls that work on the mind in 1 Corinthians 1. He calls it the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man. The wisdom of man. Are we together? He calls it human ideologies. So there is that which man is being turned away from, as it were. So the work of the word at salvation is an encounter. Then that encounter, when properly ministered or when properly engaged, amen, when a man puts his attention on the contents or the experience of that encounter, it is able to resolve his identity. Identity, you know, which is as a result of the old lifestyle, mannerism, ideology. That identity, he begins to resolve it. We said a man who is having his identity resolved, a man who is receiving a proper identity, there will be a sign of it. And the sign is that there is a natural response. Someone say natural response. So there is a natural response of what? Consecration. Is setting apart. Setting apart. Consecration. There was that consecration receives what? A commensurate outpouring of the Spirit. I call it grace. But I meant of the Spirit of God. Are we together? Are we together? We said that the, like I told you to circle and write in capital letter and circle it. We said that that ideology, are we together? Amen? That ideology or that identity, amen, will be seen, and you know, I talk about a particular identity, but identity generally. Identity is reflected in thoughts, words, and actions. That is how identity is reflected. So a man who is having an identity crisis, like I said about Moses, amen? Amen? Definitely God also has to resolve identity crisis with, what's his name? David. God has to resolve that identity crisis also with David. Amen? With David, again, we'll see God resolving identity crisis with Jacob. Resolving it. Resolving it. In resolving it, he says, you will now be called what? Israel. Are we together? Are we together? Israel. Jacob, from Jacob, is a planter into Israel identity. Did you observe that God also resolved Abraham's identity by calling him Abraham? Are we together? The father of many nations. That is resolving his identity. There's something about the way you see it. Is it clear? We said that earlier. The way you see it will affect how you handle it. The way a man sees a woman affects how he conducts himself around her and vice versa. The way men see children, women see children, affects the way they conduct themselves around them. The way we see the earth, God's creation, the way man sees angels, supernatural beings, affects the way we conduct ourselves around those supernatural beings. Are we together? In fact, I have to tell you, we have to see over the years how that even God had to work on the perception of angels in how they perceived man. By taking on the form of humanity, God is working about angels' perceptions on how they are to see man. Are we together? How they are to see man. Because the way you see it is the way you are going to handle it. You cannot be more effective than your perception, your conviction, your perception. So we said there are things we have to grow in. Like we said yesterday night, that God wants us to grow. Isn't it? That was where we started. Then we itemize the areas for growth yesterday night. And then this morning, I took some 10 minutes, not more, to talk about those diverse areas where we ought to grow. And then we lumped it into, you know, the major theme, which is what I'm talking about. You know, how we ought to grow in service. Are we together? In resolving that an identity as servants of God. So you will see identity reflected. Identity issues will be reflected, like we did during our discipleship camp meeting earlier in the year. We saw, amen, that, you know, God will, you will see, okay, let me put it this way. Like I said, you will see in the actions of men. Are we together? Those questions are being asked. How did I put those questions? Perplexing questions, which are not necessarily verbalized. I told you that when you see a church, a member of the church, for example, do something, conduct him or herself in a way, that is a perplexing question you are seeing. Those actions is a question mark. They are asking questions. Are we together? Questions are being asked. I said primarily it is in the heart of what? Unbelievers, isn't it? But you will also find it in the heart of what? Believing ones that are not yet what? Growing spiritually. Perplexing questions. There are things that a believer does that if you look at the critical, you say, no, this is a question mark. There's something, you know, this is a question. This is questioning. This question is being asked. Are we together? There is asking a question. It need not be verbalized. You see a Christian stealing. When you see a Christian who is stealing, you know that this is a question. It's asking a perplexing question. The question. So that when you go into the scriptures to read, the scriptures therefore must be read as conversations and answers to those perplexing questions. Are we together? Don't forget. So those perplexing questions has a lot to do with identity. identification. Man recognizing who he is. You see Moses? Moses said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should go," he says, "to set free the children, to deliver the children of Israel? Who am I?" He had forgotten. He had forgotten that he was one that was born out of a due time. So God had to show him from his own experiences what he will do with Israel. Taking out of the waters, the Red Sea, the waters of reeds. Taking out of the waters. And in fact, you know, I don't want to go into that. If you observe that scenario, like I said, in Bible study, learn to pay attention to scenes. You see, maybe some other time. But the Old Testament is actually a complex work of literature. The Old Testament books is a complex work of literature, very intentionally crafted by the writers. Those who wrote concerning Moses, are we together? Are we together? Those who wrote concerning Moses, and even Moses himself, when you read the work, you would observe that there is a deliberate attempt to communicate something that goes beyond what is easily read, easily observed. You need to be very studious and patient, and you need to be helped of God and the Spirit of God for you to see those, treasures. For example, you see patterns in the scriptures. Patterns that if you are not out to know God, you will easily miss those patterns. You could never have observed it. You go observe it. So you see Moses on the waters. Apparently, if you observe when he was put on the waters, you know, a form of a basket, right? Right? A form of a basket made with wood. A wood. And obviously, that was an imagery of a temple. That was an imagery of a temple. So much surrounded Moses' birth that you could easily see that it was not natural. If I just by looking at him, the Bible says that, you know, he had this countenance, and when the people looked at him, they saw he was a proper child. That there was something supernatural about him. So God shows him that what I will do with you, I will do what? With you. The same thing with the nation of Israel. God showing Israel that what I have done with you, I want to do through you. Identity. Are we together? Identity. So when identity crisis persists, we will see it in what? Number one, the what? The thinking. Number two, the what? Apparently Miriam had started having identity issues. It explains why he would take up Moses and begin to accuse him. He had forgotten that God had set her up to perform a special role in the life of Moses. So you hear things like, is he the only prophet? That's an identity issue. You do not know your place. You do not know your place anymore. So you will see that identity issue in number one, what? The what?
the thinking, number two, speaking, right? Number three, actions. And I said, in the thinking, you will see primarily in what? In priorities. Priorities. Get the shot. All the wait for me. See now. Are we together? Are we together? So we say we ought to grow. Then we said to grow in service. Where did we see the word service from? From the word abad, which means to do what? To make effort. Are we together? To minister. For the purpose of what? Fruit bearing. They say, what is the fruit? God's work in the vine, John 15, is taught as the work effort made towards fruit bearing. The challenge with the fig tree was that it was not bringing forth fruit. Paul, in talking about the planting and the watering, focused on the giving of increase, fruits. Paul will say that the laborer, the husbandman, is worthy of what? Of his fruits, of his wages. Fruits. So God is about fruits. Are we together? Are we together? So we said earlier on in the morning, into afternoon, that our identity primarily is that of a servant. We are called of God to minister the realities of the gospel of the kingdom of God unto others, just as we have been ministered unto. I told you that the goal must be kept in mind. Goal has to be kept in mind when you are the one receiving, so that you will not refute what is given you, and when you are the one ministering, so that you will not ruin what you ought to do. The goal, the fruit has to be kept in mind. The local church has its fruits. Are we together? Are we together? The local church has its fruits. Now look at this. As a church, it's very easy for us to get distracted largely, definitely, because of the world that we are in. Very easy. It's easy to become distracted. We live in a world where, and let me even say this, did you know that the greatest resource, but let me put it this way, the most expensive resource in your life currently is your attention. Your attention. So we live in a world where, look at this, you live in a world where your attention Your attention, someone say my attention, is required by virtually everything around you. We live in a world that thrives on attention. The world, you look around you today, you see how many things are working, how many things are sustained, how many things are sustained by the fuel of your attention. Attention. Are we together? Amen. Attention. Clothing brands requires your what? Attention to sell. Are we together? Amen. Gadget companies will pay any amount. Tech companies will pay any amount of money just to get what? People's what? Attention. Right? Right? If you're on the social media, you know how much companies, even small businesses, we call MSMEs, are we together? Are willing to pay to have your what? Your attention on their products. Some days ago, I had to pay hundreds of thousands in my business. Hundreds of thousands. And if I boil it down, what I was looking for is people's what? Attention. Or paying for the attention. Or pay to Facebook. Pay to, you know, those platforms. Pay to Google. Pay to WhatsApp. Or pay money to get people's what? Attention. Perhaps, well, because you know that the moment you are able to get the attention, you can get what you need from them. Are we together? Are we together? So, we live in a world that thrives on attention. Attention. Definitely, God requires our attention. Are we together? And I don't mean to sandwich God in the midst of many things. Just sprinkle rather in the midst of many things. Just mention it. God needs our attention. Satan needs your attention. Are we together? Your friends need your attention. Your family members many times, our family members of our family are craving for what? Attention. Siblings craving for attention. Sometimes they will even fight you because they feel that they are not getting the necessary attention as they would. Like some parents just some days ago, they're fighting because of attention. Because a fellow had perceived, you know, that, oh, I am losing the attention of this. And sometimes they fight you when they perceive that they are losing your attention. It shows you how vital your attention is. If you're not careful, you will not see it that way. You won't see it. Universities are trying to get attention from people. Travel agencies are trying to get attention of everyone who is traveling. Come to our place. So all the advertisements, the siriri, are we together? Like Yorubas would call it. All the and you know, many times because that's what you are looking for, you now hire experts. I don't know how the word works. You now hire experts, people, sociologists, are we together? You know, people that have mastered the art of gluing, catching people's attention. So you hire them, so they tell you the things to do, just so you can gain what? people's attention. Look at this. Many times, when the church of God is not careful, we fall into that pit of doing things in order to then get what? Attention.
Must be careful.
It's one of the major ways that people or churches lose their what? Identity. Seeker-friendly approaches to ministry.
Are we together? Are we together?
Sometimes, because we want people to come. Some people, they will go, you know, just like the world does. It's very subtle. Just like the world does. You know, you have this thing they call a brand ambassador, isn't it? Isn't it? That is, I want people to look at my products. Then I will bring a brand ambassador. So they bring someone like Ronaldo to come and wear a boxer. Because they want people to look and say, hey, wow! Because the man already has attention of the world, isn't it? So they bring a brand ambassador, someone who is a celebrity in the world, someone who already has people's attention. So they bring the fellow over so that they can leverage on it to catch other people's attention. And many times, you will see churches also use that technique. So they bring, they call them gospel artists. We call them gospel and say, oh, we are having a special meeting. In this special meeting, let us bring. So we bring this one, we bring that one, we bring that one, because we believe that when the people are around, we will be able to pull more what? More crowds, more attention to ourselves. Little by little, we begin to lose out on God's plan. You must be careful of what you want. See, I'm careful of what I want. Attention! We live in a world, like I said, that thrives, that is fueled with attention. Amen! New things are coming up every day. So, they need you to pay attention to those trends. And like I tell you, they need not to be negative things. No. But when care is not taken, because everyone out there is looking for your attention. If care is not taken, the good things around can become reasons for distraction. Distractions. Are we together? So we begin to pay the price. We begin to pay the price for getting involved in the world. Amen. You know we are involved in the world. So we begin to pay the price of interacting with the world. Are we together? You begin to pay the price. And one thing about us, I mean everyone, is that, for example, nobody hates success. Are we together? There's nobody here who hates success. So because we are in the world, because the world is around us, the same way your attention is being called for. Are we together? you will observe that you are also calling for people's attention. Amen. Amen. Because we live in an environment, a world, that thrives on what? Attention. You need people's attention. Why? Because that is how you will succeed at what you are doing. Is it clear? Your attention is needed by others because that is how they will succeed. So, you look at that environment where you are in. Look at this. If you do not do an extra work of maintaining your focus, we will begin to pay the price of getting involved with the world. I told us earlier that we are set apart by God to minister things to the world, isn't it? Isn't it? Thank you. Set aside by God to minister things to the world. To minister the realities of God to a dying world, a chaotic world, a world broken down. Now, the world has its ideologies. The world has its pattern. The world has its manners. The world has its own identity. So many times, when care is not taken, we begin to pay the price of interacting with the world. What is the price of interacting with the world? Up. 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 What is the price of interacting with the world? No, look at this. When we are not careful, we get what? Distracted, isn't it? Who are we? We are servants of God. I'm connecting tonight's session with other. I hope you are here. No disconnected session, so I simply continue the conversation. All right. So, who are we? We're servants of God, right? Men and women called to do what? To minister the realities of the gospel. I said that earlier. To a dying world. Isn't it? Don't forget I said, in a chaotic world, God will show up to do what? To heal. Right? Then we said, in healing a chaotic world, the very first thing it does is what? It will minister what? Restoration. You've forgotten. God will minister a restoration of what? Identity. And I showed you that in serving God, we are ministers of that identity. We have become ministers of that identity. In a chaotic world, I'll say it again, in a dying world, God will show up to heal and to restore. He will show up to heal. That is what I said. He heals by restoring identity. Is it clear? Now, as servants of God, you and I are called. I mentioned women for a deliberate purpose. Are we together? So, men and women in the image of God called to do what? To minister that identity to the dying world. Is it clear, church? So, I'm now showing us our environments. I'm showing us the environment we have found ourselves. It's already an environment that thrives. Now look at this. The world has its own ideologies. Ideology means its goals. The goal of the world is not your goal. But look at this. The world thrives with attention or upon attention. So if care is not taken, the world begins to demand your attention on its things. And like I told you, you are also in the world. You are not of the world. You are in the world. You also have things you are doing. Are we together? Are we together? You also have things you are doing. And like I said, there's nobody that does not like success. Now, we have an environment where success thrives on attention. So, if care is not taken, we will become distracted. Because our attention is called here and there. If care isn't taken, we can become so distracted that we begin to do what? Up. We begin to pay the price for what? For what? Relating and interacting with the world. And what is that price? What becomes the experience of a man who loses his attention? Distraction. Are we together? Are we together? Look at me. Look at me, everybody. Who are we? We're servants, right? Right? We are to dress. About, right? What does it mean to dress? What does it mean to dress? Can you give it to me again? What does it mean to dress? What does it mean to dress? To do what? What does it mean to dress? Can you help us? To do what? Nurture. To nurture. I give you a phrase. I give you a phrase. To do what? To attend continually to something. Are we together? To put effort, amen, for the purpose of what? To the end of what? Fruit bearing. Is it clear? Don't forget, we ask the question, we say, what is our fruit? Isn't it? Isn't it? What is our vision? So look at this. If I'm not careful, I begin to pay the price of relating with the world around me. What is the price of relating with the world around me if I'm not careful? Yeah, the experience is that I get distracted. Or he, hear this, the price is the price of a compromised vision. Your fruit becomes corrupted. Our fruits as servants of God becomes corrupted. Our vision becomes compromised. The price of dealing with the world without caution, like I said earlier, do not misconstrue discipline and caution. For what? For what? Somebody controlling your life. Go and check the lives of those who don't have control. So there's a price to pay. And there's a price to pay. Amen? There's a what? There's a price to pay. And there's what? A price to pay. Look at this. There's a price to pay. To pay. In what sense? To get the real fruit, there is the price of focus. If I do not pay that price, then I will pay the price of what? Loss of what? Focus. Is it clear? Interacting with a world that is chaotic, without caution. Interacting with a chaotic world without caution. Interacting with the chaotic world without caution. Are we together? Now, where do you see that culture? How do you see a manifestation of that caution? How do you see the manifestation of that caution? It is seen in consecration. Consecration itself will be the natural response towards identity being what? Fixed. Identity issues being fixed. So look at me. An encounter. Identity issues being fixed. The natural response to that is what? Consecration. The manifestation of consecration is what? There is caution. Don't call it control. You're being stupid.
mind is in two places tonight, you will get nothing out of this meeting. And that's why we have decided to teach in this conference. Is it clear? So you will see caution. So if we want to have God's fruit, we will need to pay the price of what? Focus. Caution. Discipline. If we do not do so, as servants of God, we will have to pay the price of what? A compromise what? A vision. A corrupted what? A fruit. They will not have corrupted fruits. Are we together? The media requires your attention. A local assembly, like I said earlier, has to be careful of media. I think I told you before, there's a minister of God who said that the local assembly must determine how it will use media. If not, the media will use the local assembly. That's what's happening all over now. You see churches that if they take away the social media, those churches cannot grow. It shows that what you have is not the ministry. It's a caricature. Are we together? An attention-seeking church is not how God wants it to be. The local assembly has to be focused on its mission. The local assembly will be a community of servants. Bringing it home. A community of what? Servants. The local assembly is a community of what? Servants. Look at me. We have nothing to do with the social media. Is it clear? Nothing. The best we can do using the media is to put God's word there for outreach. Perhaps, look at it. He says, just like the sower, right? He says, some fell on, isn't it? Isn't it? Some fell on. So we just put God's word on the media. Perhaps men will see it and take it up. We don't disciple through the media. We don't disciple with the media. Is it clear? And I don't usually argue with people on live stream, no live stream, this and this and that. I don't even argue. Every man is building something. After a while, the fruit will be clear. In fact, if you like, on a Sunday morning, don't even leave your rooms. Let the pastor just get up and sit in his room. In fact, don't even bath. Just get up with your night, what's it called, yes, and just put on your Zoom and have the service. Let everybody be praying to us. Just be saying all that. Are we together? Let them just be. Just do that for 2 hours. And say, we bless this service for Christ's sake, amen. The fruit will be clear. I'm not going to argue. The media at best is for what? Outreach. It's for outreach.
I told you that the things we do for God, the words that were used to describe them, connotes they are not things that can be done in what? Absentia. You have to be there amongst the flock. So a local assembly is what? A community of what? Servants. Let me complete that. A community of servants committed to one another in serving God's purposes and plan. A community of servants committed to what? I didn't say committed to God. It is already committed to God, but it does not make it a local assembly. It is a local assembly because these particular people are committed to what? One another, even as we all are committed to what? God's work. Committed to one another as we serve God's plan. Committed to one another as we fulfill God's mandate. Then if you live here and you go somewhere else in the city, you will find another community of believers, right? Who are serving God, and they are committed towards one another. And look at me, everyone. Look at me. That those people there are not committed to the people here. Not because there is dissension, no, but because the things are unique and different. So there is your own company in the Lord. The fact that some people are gathering and praying and receiving the word, even doing evangelism, does not make it your local church. Is it clear? The fact that they are clapping and they are dancing and they are welcoming and loving does not make it your local church. In your local church, you are committed to the saints there. Is it clear? Is it clear? Look at me, everybody. Look up. It's likened to a natural family. A family. Where you have the father, the mother, and then you have the children who are siblings. Now, when you move out of that house, you go to another house, you see another family, isn't it? Now, definitely, you observe that the people here in this family A are not committed to these people in family B as much as they are committed among themselves. There is a bond there. It doesn't mean both families are opposing each other, but it means there is a bond here. There is what makes them unique. Are we together? Every one man has a part in one another. Here is a team. That is local assembly. And God has it in many places. I'm saying that because some of us here are idiots. We don't know the difference. Don't be the idiots. Your local assembly. So God will begin to function in that assembly differently for you because that's where He has planted you. There will be things that are happening there for your sake that if you go elsewhere, it will not happen there. And it does not mean you are not welcome there. It simply means that is not the place for you. Are we together? That is the local assembly. It's a ministry unit, a ministry team. It's a team. This is your own team in the Lord. And then, don't forget we said, God wants us to grow, right? So the team can grow into 5,000. 2 million. 10 million. So we say 10 million members of the Word Life Believers. That's a team. Some people say, oh, denomination, call it whatever you like. That's a ministry team. And that's how God wants it or has put it in different places in the world. The team can spread out geographically in different places. However, there is a bond. Are we together? There is a binding factor, a bond. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, physically, in those diverse assemblies all over the world, there is yet a unique commitment with one another or to one another. Are we together? So there's something such as, this fellow is a member of my church. This one is not. It does not mean that you will be against the other. It does not mean that you will fight the other, you will quarrel with the other, or even despise the other. No. If the virgin is born again, we are all one in the Lord. Are we together? Are we together? Supernaturally, by the Spirit, we are all one in the Lord. But when it comes to acting out God's work, fulfilling God's mandate, we are not all doing it together. There is a team that you have been called to work with, and you are expected to treat it that way. Is it clear? Is it clear? Look at Hebrews chapter 5, 13, rather, quickly. Hebrews 13. So, we must learn the art of focus. We must pay the price of what? Focus. Say, I pay the price of focus. When a local assembly does not pay the price of focus, we stand the risk of a compromised what? Vision. I'll show you what the compromised vision looks like. Don't even want it at all. Hebrews 13, are you there? Look at verse 5. Let's read together. Read on. Read verse 7. Remember what? Who have what? Rule over you. Who have what? So look at this. It says to follow the faith of certain people. Notice it says. He says to do what? To remember, right? Right? Now, the question is, have you forgotten? Why did he say to remember as though you have forgotten? The word remember, there is what you pay attention to, is the word mnemesko. Mnemesko does not imply that you forgot something. Remember there implies to keep something in mind. Is it clear? To not stop considering something. It means something to set your attention to. He's not saying that because you forgot. He's simply saying what should be in your consciousness. He says to remember those who do what? Have the rule over you. This definitely is not talking about pastors in the body of Christ. This is referring to the pastor of your own assembly. Your own leaders in your assembly. He says, who have spoken unto you what? The word of God, right? He now says, whose was faith what? Follow. Whose faithfulness? Follow.
or see the end of the conversations.
So he shows us whom to follow. That shows you that there is an orderliness in the assembly. There is an orderliness in the assembly. Look at me. Another word for orderliness will be what? Uniformity. There is a uniformity in the local assembly. A uniformity. Uniformity. Look at verse 17. Quickly. Obey them that have what? Notice that the writer is focused on those who do something to you directly. He didn't say obey them that have rule. No. He says those that have rule over you. So there are people who minister the things of God. There are also people who have been sent to you. They do it toward you.
It is pay attention to them. Pay attention to them. Are we together? It is pay attention to them. They do it toward you. 1 Peter 5. Are we together? In 1 Peter 5, what does it say? In verse 5. Can we take it? Verse 5, won't you go? Verse 6 and 7. Are we together? You find a similar thing in 1 Timothy 5:17. What do we have there? 1 Timothy 5 and 17. Read on. Especially those who labor in what? Word and doctrine. So we see that uniformity. What do you have in Romans chapter 16? Are we together? Praise God. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Can we take it together? And do what? It shows you there is an orderliness. And in that orderliness, your attention is being placed on something. Thinking. Your attention is being placed, directed. The Spirit of God is deliberate about how your attention is directed and what it is directed onto. So there's something such as the direction of your attention, directing your attention to things, because that is what it means to serve you. Are we together?
So we are told, we are encouraged to pay the price of focus. A local assembly is a community of what? Servants. And are committed to one another, even as we fulfill God's what? Plans. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. So look at me carefully. The local church, or hear me carefully, must keep its focus. The local assembly must never get distracted, that we begin to see ourselves as casual. It's an assembly of what? It's an assembly of what? It's an assembly of servants. The local church must not lose sight of its identity. An assembly of servants committed to one another, even as we fulfill God's plan for his earth. A local assembly. I told you earlier that a local assembly can lose its words, focus. A local assembly can lose its words, identity. Look at Revelation chapter 3 quickly. Revelation chapter 3. Are you there already? Are they saying amen? Good. Let us read verse 14. Unto the angel, that is the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans, write: this thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Can we take 15 together? I know thy works, that I neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. Is this an issue? Okay, look at verse 16, everyone. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Can we take 17? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase your goods, and I have need of nothing, and I knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. Someone say identity issues. He says, you say I am rich and increase with what? With goods. This is an assembly that has focused on material acquisition at the expense of their spiritual nourishment. Look at me, everybody. At no point should our focus leave our spiritual state and be focused on what? Material wealth. At no point. So I told you about the church, the friend. No, it's not even my friend. I can say it to him. He's not my friend. Amen. He can't be my friend and be such worldly minded. He says, "Oh, we are doing all of that. We are doing all that because of the kind of people we want to attract." That is the church in Laodicea. That letter is for the pastor of that church. We are wretched and blind and deaf and poor. Because you say that I am rich, but you increase with what? With goods. And I have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and blind and poor and naked. I would rather have God's plan than boast in material riches. I told you that nobody hates success, right? Right? But we must never, at the expense of God's plan, at the expense of God's plan, lose ourselves. Is it clear? Or pursue success at the expense of God's plan. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness will not appear. And I know that eyes with eyes have that thou mayest see. Why is he saying that they should anoint their eyes that they should see? Because they have started having identity what? Identity issues. Their thinking is corrupted. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Identity. Look at 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 1, rather. In 2 Peter 1, he says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding good and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence. Can we take it together? How to your faith what? Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. Can we take it together? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacketh this is his, and as what? Identity issues. Identity issues. The next thing. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Consecration. 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 So a man can forget his identity. An assembly can forget his identity. He says he has forgotten that he has been purged. He can lose sight of who he is. Are we together? Don't forget, the issue with the nation of Israel was that they forgot who they were. All the laws of Moses in Deuteronomy was to restore identity through teaching. That's to show you, look at me, that teaching meetings in the church is to resolve what? Identity issues. That is why you observe that those who do not attend the teaching meetings of their church, their lives are wobbling. Or those who attend churches, because those churches are not rigorous in teaching. Amen. A church that does not teach people diligently will not resolve what? Identity issues. It is not far-fetched that you are not going to have consecrated believers and there will be no outpouring of the Spirit. Then the world will not be reached through those ones because they are useless. May you not be useless. So you observe that people who do not attend teaching meetings, or who look as though they are being forced to the teaching meetings, they are the ones that usually give us problems in the church. They are the ones that are usually very rude. They come late into meetings. They don't attend meetings. Prayer meetings, that is where identification happens. They don't attend the prayer meetings. They are the ones that give us problems in the church. So it is difficult to see consecration in their lives because identification has not happened. Do you get it? They are connected, like I said. Connected. 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 A local assembly. The nation of Israel, they forgot who they were. They had forgotten that they were a nation. They were a nation called of God in the Exodus. To serve. Someone say to serve. Saved to serve. Identity. saved to serve through consecration by the outpouring of the Spirit, having resolved identity issues. Saved to serve through consecration. Are we together? By the outpouring of the Spirit, having resolved identity what? Issues. Saved to serve through consecration by the outpouring of the Spirit, having resolved identity issues. The entire assembly is involved in this. God would deliver Israel. And that deliverance was a calling, don't forget, an encounter. That is why salvation is also taught today as deliverance. He says he has delivered us from the what? From the power of sin, isn't it? Isn't it? He has delivered us. Delivered us from the power of Satan. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Kingdom has to do with what he is doing. So we are saved to serve. An assembly of servants. If we do not see it that way, one of the ways to see it that way, are we together, is to keep on talking about it. I told you, when your consecration seems affected, what do? You go back to the what? The why and the what? And the how of the what. So every service, we are deliberate here to put you, we'll show you to you again, because we know that God's word is not meant to function like a window, but as a what? As a mirror. Then you pray. Called out the Exodus. Is it clear? So look at me. If you're reading the Exodus, you're reading the Exodus. If you're reading the Exodus, you're reading the Exodus. It looks like God delivered Israelites. No. Look at me. God went into Egypt and sent Israel to go and preach. That's how to say it. Not that he went and delivered. Deliver is like he's bringing to store. No. He went into Egypt and set them free to go and serve, to go and preach. So what is salvation? Salvation is Jesus coming to spiritual death and sending men out to go and preach. Are we together? Are we together? So that salvation, that deliverance is a calling. A calling is an assignment. An assignment. A royal nation. Are we together? Holy priesthood. Peculiar people. Called out of what? Darkness. To show forth his what? His marvelous light. The praise of him. You know, to show forth the praise of him that has called him out of darkness. Are we together? Into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 1:9. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So look at this. We are sent out to preach just like Israel. Called out of the waters. Just like Jesus. Called out of the waters. In baptism. Sent out to preach. With signs and wonders. Are we together? Just like Israel had signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. You observe that the signs and wonders followed Israel as they engaged the nations. The same way, the believer is also to have signs following him as you preach the gospel in the nations. Jesus also had signs following him. Amen. I said amen. So the believer will have an encounter. That encounter is how he believes. Then you will see a restoration of identity. Then you will see the consecration to serve. And then you see an outpouring of the Spirit. This is God's work through the local church. This is God's work through the local church. This is the fruit. That is the fruit that we're talking about. Men whose identity is being resolved. Men who has had encounters, whose identity is being resolved. Men who are responding with consecration to serve the Lord in the nations. Men who have the outpouring of the Spirit. We'll go see the outpouring of the Spirit shortly. Maybe in the morning tomorrow. It has to do with being filled with the Spirit. Then being full of the Spirit. Then flowing with the Spirit. Are we together? Then walking in the leading of the Spirit. Three things. The outpouring of the Spirit has to do with being full of the Spirit. Are we together? Number two, flowing with the Spirit. Is it clear? Number three, being led continually by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. Those three are continuous. That's what the outpouring of the Spirit means. Flowing with the Spirit means to minister the Spirit. Full of the Spirit means to learn to take off the Spirit. To resolve issues in your own world, in your own life. To take off the Spirit. If you do not take off the Spirit, you cannot be full of the Spirit. If you are not full of the Spirit, you cannot flow with the Spirit. To flow with the Spirit means to get involved in what the Spirit is doing. In the midst of that, you also have the leading of the Spirit. That is the outpouring of the Spirit. That is how God's work is done. So called out of the waters. Are we together, church? Identity restored. Consecrated to serve. Outpouring of the Spirit. That is the work of the local assembly. Are we together, church? When the church does not recognize its identity, you see services being turned into parties. Parties. Are we together? Are we together? So we are bothered. How are we going to make people to stay in our church? So we say, oh, the first timers, let us give them rice. The sister Florence is everywhere looking for ingredients to cook rice for first timers. Then when rice is not enough, we're in trouble. The sister is saying it's all about making punch and zobo. As I'm teaching God's word about evangelism and discipleship and becoming God's mind in nations, they are not hearing. Their mind is, there was one more cup of zobo. How do I talk to that last person that he will understand to take coke instead of zobo? They lost their identity. And I'm not talking about zobo and rice. Look at what Peter said. Peter said, it is not what? Meat. It is not enough. It is not reason enough. The issue on ground is not reason enough. It does not make sense.
that will leave the word of God to serve what? Tables. Look here among you, seven men of honest report. Then he gave them the criteria, full of the Holy Ghost, that will be appointed over what? This business. But we will give ourselves to what? To the word, to the ministry of the word, to prayer, and to the ministry of what? Of the word. Then the same pleased all the saints. That was a local assembly with their identity intact. So I'm not talking about not attending to natural things. Is it clear? And you observe that in that same text, what was the issue? There was a seeking for the attention of the leadership. It says the widows were being neglected, isn't it? Isn't it? An attention issue. So the local church, in a bid to resolve the issues in the church, natural needs, the units in the church, in a bid to serve the purposes, the music team, in a bid to sing, the media, to engage the affairs of teaching materials in audio, in print, in videos, the works, to ensure the ACs are working, the gadgets are working, the power is on working, the gen is working, the welfare. Are we together? We must not lose our focus, or else we are going to have a compromised vision, a corrupted fruit, or a corrupted vision, a compromised fruit. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? I told you earlier on, the pastor of the local assembly is not a celebrity. When he's losing his identity, he begins to dress like a celebrity. Show up in the media like celebrity. The media team is now tasked with the work of putting the pastor out, curating videos in a world of content producers. Is that what you call them? Content what? Creators, thank you. In a world of content production, content creators. Are we together? The pastor is not a content creator. Is it clear? Is it clear? Look at me. The media team is not a content what? Creator. So let's make two 10 seconds video of pastor's teaching. Let's create content. 2 minute video of pastor's teaching. Say, the worship today was electric. Let's take the most electric part of it. Let's put it on the media. Why? So that people can like it and love it. And do what? That is not the church of God. So you are seeking for attention. A church that is needing attention. A church that is seeking for attention. Doing everything possible to get people's attention. That is a church that has lost its identity. That is an assembly that has lost its identity, forgetting that they are an assembly of servants with a definite fruit that they must have. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? In the fruit is an outpouring of the Spirit. Our focus must be to raise Christians that are full of the Holy Ghost, to raise believers by saying, look here among you, seven men of honest report.
He says, full of the Holy Ghost. He shows you that they would not be people who are just had a record of being filled with the Holy Ghost before. Look here among you, seven men of honest report had to do with what they had observed since before that time. Full of the Holy Ghost has to do with what they had also observed. In other words, he's saying, look for seven people who have a track record of always being filled with the Spirit.
That is the work of a local church. Not somebody that has prophesied before, Lego, Gogo, or Grogogo, or Grono. Ooh, I am a winner.
Pele, loser.
Not somebody that has led song before and gotten a psalm on the pulpit. And when he got the psalm, the whole church was like, oh! And after the person sang the psalm, we look at him and it does not look like a psalm. Gone astray.
Are we together? We're teaching God's word. Maybe we're teaching being full of the Spirit. Or putting the Spirit upon, as you did some weeks ago. So when we are teaching, be full of the Spirit, everybody was excited and all that. 6 months after the teaching series, you now look very dry.
No, that is not you we are looking for.
We are looking for somebody, people who have a track record of always being full of the Spirit. Over time, that track record is there. This one, always full of the Spirit. And we have men and women like that in the church here.
Yes.
Consistently full of the Spirit. We can call on them. They are there. We can make a request for ministry activities. They will deliver. They will deliver. It doesn't mean that they are perfect people. It simply means they endeavor to put the Spirit upon. They have prayer lives. They have study lives. They go on evangelism. They make disciples. They raise disciples. They study God's word. Every now and then, they go beyond their personal challenges to ensure that they are fit for the ministry all the time. Those are the people we're looking for. Those are the fruits. They go beyond personal challenges. They go beyond times of disappointments. They go beyond personal weaknesses. They go beyond not so good moments, oppositions. They are not rancorous. They are not busybodies. They are not rude. Are we together? They are not just unnecessarily loud and rash. No! They are quiet, receiving God's word, and the glow of the Spirit is seen in their lives. Are we together? He says, look out for people like that, that we may appoint over this business. So, those are the fruits of a local assembly. The church is not a showbiz. The church is not an event management center. The pastor is not an event manager. Is it clear? So we don't leave the work of the word and begin to focus on ephemerals. You're too focused on how the venue looks like. What is your budget for the venue this year? What is your budget for soul winning? There are churches where the pastors don't have budgets for soul winning. That is a failed assembly. Resources don't go into soul winning and mobilization. Resources don't go into the welfare of men and women who are laboring to raise disciples in the church. Resources don't go into acquisition of things and resources that helps to put the word of God out. That is not a local church. Are we together? So the saints of God are servants. Like I said, the pastor, look at me, the pastor is not a CEO. He can be a CEO of a company in the world, in the corporate space, but in the church, the pastor is not a CEO. He's not a celebrity. He doesn't live like a celebrity. He doesn't make attempt to be seen like a celebrity. The pastor is a servant. The saints are servants. The pastor is the chief servant. Chief servant, not as in the world, but chief servant as in he is the most tasked servant in the assembly. Oftentimes, look at this. The pastor is not even seen. He is behind the scene, working tirelessly. He knows his fruits. He knows his fruits. Are we together? He understands that his call is not to the public, but behind the scene. So we must not get distracted. Are we together? Are we together? Some will say, oh, let's take over the world. Let's take over the world. Let us take over the world. Let's take over the world. Many times, behind such statements, let's take over the world, is an affection for the world to become worldly. Let's take over the world. They also want to be seen as doing well. What concerns the world seeing you to be doing well? Serve the Lord. We're not after a public image. Is it clear? Is it clear? Some say, oh, that gone are those days of going from street to street for evangelism. He says, now, he says, what the churches are doing. That's a friend of mine in business, because that's what he does. He does that for, I think in this city alone, he must have done that for hundreds of churches. So he was introducing that to me also. I patronize you in the resurrection. Are we together? That's if you make it through. So he told me, he said that's what his own church also does. Digital evangelism. He says he just runs for so that. He was telling me. He says you just sit at the comfort of your room and talk to people and invite them to your service. He just talked to people. And he was saying it, and you know, his mouth is very sweet. He was just saying, he says, ah, Pastor, he says, that's what everybody is doing. You just talk to people. You just sit on your desk. I'm about to shake table here. You know, we just do that caption and then don't leave the rest to us. We know how to target, you know, people that you just talk to them from the comfort of your office. You just talk to them as who? As just talk to them. You just talk to them as a serpent. Are we together? You just talk to people. We have gone to them with the power of the Spirit. We are seeing what we are seeing. They say, just sit on your table, just talk to them. A very dry vessel. You just talk to them. And then all of them too, like zombies. We are all dead. You just talk to them. You just talk to them. You think that answers? You think that is in demons' respect that you just talk to them? You think that solves the issue in the environment? Are we together? The pastor is not a CEO. Even in business, many times you don't just talk to them. By the time you have done the video and you have put it on the social media, you will now go in business. You will do mobilization tires.
You will appear in an office for the 40th time. Yes. You show up there again, sit down for hours. They say the person is not allowed. He's inside the office, so he's seeing in the CCTV. He just wants to be boss. Then you now say the work of souls, warfare, spiritual warfare. You just talk to them from the comfort of them. They will see it, and then, you know, in the service, the place will be filled up. Before you know it, you just change your venue. No. There is what we are looking for. Is it clear? That's what we are looking for. You don't know that you are compromising your ministry. That's why the way you are starting new churches is failing. You just sit in your room. How do you tell the person that you just brought all over the media to go out and win the souls? How? You have already compromised ministry. How do you tell the fellow that you did not reach to reach out? How do you tell him that reaching out is God's plan? You have already said, and I told you, Satan plays the long game. Satan is a master long-term game player. He doesn't do small projects. Satan doesn't do small projects. It's a long-term thing. You would have done something over and over and over and over and over. You will not see anything. You will be watching. Demons. They will be watching. You would have done it over, 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 over. You will be watching. At once, you will just strike. At the moment, you can't recover. You can never recover it. That's what it does. I know what I'm saying like the back of my hand. That's how it works. Oh. That's how Satan works. You will not recover. You will not recover. I know what I'm saying. You will not recover. That's how it does. At best, we will now have to manage it. Because God's wisdom still trumps. But not without the scar. Satan. Just go into the scriptures and see for yourself. Just see for yourself. The guy, you will take money, take money, take money, take money. Who? Until he killed himself. He will recover. Go and look at what's his name? David. The same thing. He does that on the earth. He does that. He gets you comfortable. Then at the moment where there is no redeeming atmosphere, he does his work. He does his work. The same for people that, you know, belittle the place of the local church. He will allow you. He will play that long game. He will leave them. Play that long game. Say, no, I don't have to be in church. There's no problem. There's no problem. Satan can spend 5-10 years nourishing that, rebellion towards the Lord. No problem. All the things you need naturally, he will supply. So you say, since I left church, I have had peace because I left God, not church. Imagine. Sorry, I left church, not God. He will play the long game. He will wait for you at a point where there is nothing called God around you. He will follow you, follow you, follow you, follow you, follow you, follow you. Nothing. At the point where it seems as though to run back to God is as far away from the east, it will strike. There is no redemption. There's no redemption. But because God is faithful, God will yet come to save. But that saving at best will still be to manage the damage that has been done. That's the way Satan works. Your wisdom is to be full of the Spirit and to act on the word at all times. Exactly, church. So we must not get distracted. Jesus
made clear his distinction from the world, the distinction of his church from the world around. I begin to close here. So look at this. In Romans chapter 12, we are told to not be squeezed into the mold of the world. Romans chapter 12. When it says, be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. It means we should not let these words to squeeze us into its mold. Local assembly must not lose its identity. Is it clear, church? We already have a distinction from the world. We already have a distinction from its approach in our engagement with the world. As a local assembly, in our engagement with the world, we must not let the world get into us. Our priority is to be the servant of Christ who lives for him. We must keep ourselves reminded of who we are and what God has called us to do. In Matthew 28 again, it says in verse 18, Matthew 28 and then in verse 18, and Jesus came and said unto them, he says, all authority is given unto me. He says, in heaven and in earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Are we together, church? Now look at something here. I told us yesterday. He says, all power is given unto me. He says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Now, these were the last words. Can we say the last words, right? Right? We'll be right if we say the last words. Now, observe in Matthew chapter 4. He says right there in verse 15. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in great darkness, saw great light. To them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, says in 18. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishers. Can we take verse 19 together, everyone wants to go? He said unto them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. The first statement was the last statement. The first statement was the last statement. Identity. The first statement was the last statement. Now that wasn't all. Midway, we will see again in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus says to them, he says in verse 38, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Then in Matthew chapter 10, he calls them together in verse 5. He says, go not into the way of the Gentiles and the city of the Samaritans, and that you not, but rather go to the lordship of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. He says, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you give, freely you have received, freely give. Again, in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 4, Matthew 10, Matthew 28. The same thing happens in Luke. He does the same thing, are we together? In Mark chapter 1, verse 16. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they are fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, I will make you to become fishers of men. The same thing he repeats in Mark's Gospel chapter 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Are we together, church? Are we together? You see the same thing in Luke chapter 5, verse 10. He says, and so also was James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. Then he goes on, he says in Luke 24, he says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. His name among all nations. Look at this. The first words were the last words and were also repeated midway. How? Because in Luke's Gospel chapter 9, we see Jesus' instruction to his disciples. Are we together? In Luke 9, he says, foxes have holes, he says, bears have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Then Jesus says, if you go, that is all. Are we together? Let the dead bury their dead, but go preach the gospel of the kingdom. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid my them farewell, which I have told in my house. And he says, if you go, that is all. No man putting his hand in the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So we see Jesus' instruction, his instruction to his disciples at several instances with them. It shows you something I said earlier on. We all need reminders. We all need reminders. Why? Because there are things that as we get involved in the world, there are times where things take over our minds. Even good things. I said earlier on, there's nobody who hates success. Sometimes, in a bid to achieve success in our natural ventures, in a bid to achieve success in our ministry engagements, many times we allow things to take over our minds. We get so engrossed putting things together. Now, speaking as a church, we get so engrossed sometimes in even trying to reach the world. You see, it's not necessarily a bad thing for it to become a distraction. We mustn't be particular about putting efforts alone. Our fruits must be right before our minds, our eyes. We must have the kind of fruits we ought to have at the front burner of our minds. Is it clear? Sometimes, in the church, the media, for example, can get so engrossed in putting teachings together, the ushering, getting engrossed, you know, we're training people, we're able to usher in church, the music team getting engrossed and preparing songs and all of that, the welfare also working, you know, trying to provide the natural affairs of the people. Are we together? Those are beating drums, that are playing the instrument, busy, trying to fine-tune their skills and all, and we forget the fundamental reasons why we are here. Focus. We must focus on our identity. Are we together? Sometimes even as a pastor, you can get so busy with administrative works. A pastor can get busy, as beautiful as church planting is. A pastor can get so busy with church planting, planting new cells. A pastor can get so busy with, you know, administration of church staffs, the welfare, finances sometimes. The pastor can get so busy with all that we'll forget what our fruit ought to be in the church. Don't, because he wants to do it well, lose out on the fruits. The fruits are important. Are we together, church? The fruits are important. Are we together, church? In Mark 15 and 16, these are reminders. Because we all forget. We all forget. So here it is, church. We mustn't forget that we are an assembly of servants. Is it clear? Our fruit, therefore, is to raise more servants of God. More servants. Effective servants of God. To raise more effective servants of God. We must be cautious of what comes into our heart as a church. We must be cautious of what comes into our hearts as servants individually, so that we don't misplace our priorities. In Luke 24:47, it says to reach the world. Luke chapter 9 verse 1 again, reach the world. These are reminders. We need reminders, like I said, the course of this conference, because new things come up in our life and we carelessly make them priorities. As a church also, new things come up. In the church in Acts by 6, you know, they now had the challenge of caring for the widows. Why? Because the population had now increased. A while ago, they were 12. After a while, they were what? 120. After a while, by Acts 6, they were at least 8,000. Imagine the World Life Believers come to church, 8,000 in the same city. This is not the putting together of the branches. The same city, at least 8,000. Actually, by Acts chapter 6, the population of the church had risen into about 15 to 20,000. I know what I'm saying. But just following the records. Amen. We have 3,000 in Acts chapter 2. Then we have another 5,000 in Acts chapter 4. Then by Acts 5, he says the church, the people added, were added daily. And if you observe the use of the words, you will see by Acts 5, Acts 6, it says great multitudes. That means they were losing the counts. That is good. That is growth. But there comes the challenge of growth also. Then Peter will say, no. We would not leave the word of God and serve tables. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So look at this. New things come up in our lives, personally and as a church. After a while, an assembly can begin to have married couples in the church. And the couples begin to bring forth children in the church. And then we have people who have started businesses in the church. I mean, and then, the good part, they're able to support the church, they're able to strengthen the church materially, and all, and then all the good things are happening. But look at this, they can become distractions. We mustn't lose focus on our identity. One of the signs that you are losing your identity is that you are now resolving an issue you are not meant to be focused on. Are we together? Or you are resolving an issue you are not meant to be resolving. Let me put it that way. Or you are prioritizing an issue that you are not supposed to be prioritizing. Is it clear? When priority changes, is a sign of a wobbling identity. We can be so engrossed with caring for the people that are coming to the church that we do not bother anymore about who is coming and what is happening to those people. We mustn't lose sight of who is coming into the church. We must ask ourselves, the cell leaders must ask, the pastors must ask, who are the people in our church? When our camp meetings grow and we have the population in our camp meeting, we must ask the question, who are the people in our camp meetings and what is happening to them? What is happening to them? The local assembly must focus on the workforce. Some years ago, we were barely 6 in the workforce. By the time the workers are increasing in the church, we must not forget to scrutinize to find out, who are these people? How did they become workers? And what is happening to them? What is their state? Are they servants? Or are we gathering crowd? Are we together, church? So I'll say this tonight. My priority must be to feed my vision. To avoid destruction, I must feed my vision. Why? Because whatsoever I don't feed, anything I don't feed, will soon die. The local assembly must feed its vision. How often? As often as you can. Every week. Every service. every cell meeting, annually, like I'm doing in this meeting, feeding the vision. Anything you don't feed will die. I feed my vision regularly. How do I feed my vision? I feed my vision through speaking. I speak about it. That means as a local assembly, we must talk about our vision. Is it clear? Is it clear? We must talk about what we want and what we do not want. This is an assembly of servants. What we want. What are our fruits? For example, we must ask the question, who are our members? Talk about that in the morning. Who are our members? Who is a member of our church? Don't forget, I spoke about our thinking, our speaking, our actions. Talk about that. Who are members? We must ask the question, who is a worker in the Word Life Believers Community Church? And then we look at those we call workers, how many of them look like it? When we do not do that check, we will suffer. We will become victims of a compromised what? Vision? Of a corrupted fruit. Jesus says, go and make disciples. Look at me. We must ask the question in the Word Life Believers Community Church, who is a disciple? I asked someone yesterday, I said, is so and so your disciple? The person said, yes. I know the answer is a no. Because I was going to teach it. I'm quiet. Are we together, church? Are we together? We must ask, who is a disciple? Sometimes we would not know. When we don't know where a disciple is, that's an identity issue. An identity issue. We must have a common identity. That means we must have a common definition. We'll talk about that tomorrow. The local assembly. How do I feed my vision regularly? I talk about it. I pray about it. I pray the vision. As I said yesterday, we're going to soak ourselves, immerse ourselves in prayers. We pray the vision. We teach the vision. We think the vision. Then we act on the vision. We talk about the vision. We pray the vision. We teach the vision. 3, 4. We think the vision. Then we do what? We do what? We act on the vision. That's how many? 5. Number 6. Look at this. We nurture the vision. Nurture means to look out for things that affect the mission, the vision, adversely, and to take it away. And to look for the things that the vision requires to be strong and to impute it. That is fertilizing and weeding. Is it clear? Don't forget that God's work is the work of the what? A tiller. Is that clear? Is that clear? So can we undo the vision of our local church by tilling? That attention, that deliberateness, that consciousness, that intentionality to till around God's vision. We talk about it. We speak it. We talk about it. We pray it. Then we teach it. We think it. We act on it. And we do what? We nurture it. Like a mother nurtures a child. You nurture it. The doctor begins to tell you, oh, you cannot give the child this. You cannot give the child that. Not after 6 months. Not after 3 months. Not after 1 year. You're nurturing the child. We'll nurture the vision. What you don't nurture, waste away. What you don't feed, dies. What you focus on, grows. Is it clear, church? So God wants us to mature on the vision and not lose our identity. Say, I don't lose my identity. We talk about the vision. What is our goal as a church? to raise disciples. To raise disciples of Jesus. Who is a disciple? We must ask that question. We must answer it together. All of us. We must answer it together. We must talk about who a disciple is. We must teach it. Who is a disciple? Who is a disciple? Who is a member of our church? One of the questions we must ask is, what does our church look like? What should our church look like? What should our churches look like? Our churches, what should they look like? Our members, what should they look like? Should our members, can they be rude and rebellious? Do they have the opportunity to be rude and rebellious? Who are our members? Who is a leader in our assembly? What does a leader look like? What does a cell leader in our church look like? We must understand it. This is our vision. What does the work of the ministry look like in our church? Who is carrying out the ministry? Who is not? When is the ministry being carried out? In case all we have is activities alone. So that we don't waste our time. Ezekiel Church. A new disciple. Who is a convert? When do we call someone a convert? Are we together? We must talk about our vision. We must talk about the fruits. We must talk about the fruits. Who is our member? How does our members behave in their workplace? How do you recognize our members, the members of our church? How do you recognize them in the workplace? Are we just particular about people coming into service and singing and praying and sitting down, hear the word, and then go out, and we don't care what happens or becomes of them in the world? No! How does the fruit look like in the world? The members of the Word Life Believers come to church, are they honest or they are dubious? Do we have fraudsters amongst us in the workforce? Hey! Are they diligent in their workplace? Do they build relationships or they ruin relationships? Are they diligent in their own lives? Are they well behaved? Who is a member of our church? Are they Christ-like? Are they disciples of Jesus? Do they minister the things of the Spirit? Do they flow with the Spirit? Can they preach the gospel? Can they explain the word of God? Do they have a strong study culture? Do they pray? Do they have a prayer life? Are they disobedient and rude? Are they worldly in their priorities, in their actions, in their mindsets? Who is a sister in the church? Do they sleep around with boys? The brothers, do they womanize? Are they well behaved? Are they well behaved? What is the fruit? What is the fruit? What is the fruit? How does the fruit look like? How many looks like it? That is how we are sure that we know what we are doing. It's a clear church. We must pray it. We must teach it. Play for me. We must pray it. We must study the word of God and teach our vision. What are we doing? For how long are we going to do this? Are we doing this till we graduate? Is this pattern of ministry meant for people before they graduate from the university? Is this meant for people who are graduates? Do we compromise when people get married? What is the mood? What is the fruit? What is the vision? How should it look like? What has God shown us? What are we doing about what God has shown us? Are we praying about it? Or do we just come in our prayer meetings and all we do in our prayer meetings is just pray about our problems? Are we praying the vision? Are we thinking about it? Does it look like the cell leaders are thinking about the affairs of the members of themselves? Do we have the body? How many share the body? Because you are God's work, but you are also a man walking together with God on the field. It's important that we see it as a church and our identity is not lost. When a local assembly has lost its identity, oh, everyone who comes in contact with that church is in trouble. Do we act on the vision? Do we correct in line with the vision? Or do we compromise? So far a brother has money, we don't correct him anymore. When people are giving, we don't correct the person anymore. Do we move people up the structure because they are giving? And the one who is laboring and has the real fruits, we keep them away because they are not wealthy. No. Do we act on the vision? Are we acting in line with the vision? Are we nurturing it? Do we look out for oppositions, contrary atmospheres to the vision? And what do we do about it? I close with Genesis 11 text, everyone. As a church, we must have a common vision. We must know what our fruits are. We must walk hand in hand. The one receiving, the one ministering, we must walk hand in hand. A disciple is one that walks hand in hand with you, having caught a glimpse, a sight of your vision for him or her. That's a disciple. Walks hand in hand with you to see him or her become the fruits that God has laid in your heart to be. In Genesis chapter 11, look at it in verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. He says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And look at this, verse 5. The Lord came down to the city and the tower where the children of Israel built it, verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all what? One language. And this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. So I say one language. And you open your mouth and say, one language. One language. One vision. One language. He says, the whole earth will have one language and one speech. The word speech there is the word dabar. It's a word that implies conviction. It has to do with language. conviction, counsel, and many times also implies experiences. The same mindedness, the same experiences, the same language, the same hearts, the same mindedness. So what does God say? God said, nothing will be strained from them which they have imagined. Someone said nothing. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined. Nothing. When we are one language, one speech, the same experience, the same counsel, how do we achieve that? We'll go look at that tomorrow. When we are one mindedness, we speak the same language. Language means definition. Our definition is the same. Our definition about the disciple is the same. Our definition about the church member is the same. Our definition about the work of the ministry is the same. We use the same language. It says nothing will be denied them. Nothing will be impossible. Are we together, church? So one of the dangers of distraction is a compromised vision, is a delayed progress. Delayed progress. God wants us to have the same mind, and it is rooted in the revelation of our identity. That means we have the same consecration. An assembly can have the same consecration. An assembly can increase in the outpouring of the Spirit. An assembly. The outpouring of the Spirit. An assembly, the product of an encounter. The assembly, just like Israel, just like the apostles, just like the church in Acts, the product of encounters. The assembly having its identity resolved. The assembly consecrated to self and experiencing an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Are we together, church? So much more than individuals, God wants to make an assembly a vessel to serve his purposes, acting as one man, living as one man, a single vessel. Are we together, church? And Lord, we have us be minded this way, see ourselves as one man, a single vessel, consecrated to serve, receiving in a continual outpouring of the Spirit of God. Is this you, church? Is this us, church? Let's just pray in other tongues tonight. Consecrated to his will. Consecrated to sin. Consecrated to his will. Consecrated to his will. Consecrated to his will. Consecrated to his plan. Consecrated to his will. Consecrated to his plan as a church. As a ministry. See your glory. Feel the earth. Feel the earth. Consecrate that your will. Consecrate that your plan. Consecrate that your glory. Be the earth. Be the earth. We will never,
never, never, never, never,
never
tire.
I will never, never,
I will never, 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 never
fall
to your
grace. Consecrate and do
your will.
Consecrate and do
your plan.
Consecrate and do
your rule. Fill the earth. Fill the earth.
I will never, 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 never tire doing your will.
I will never.
Same voice, to run the same race, to say the same things, to act on the same vision again and again and again and again. That there's no one man feeble as to acting on your counsel. That there is no one weak as to seeing your plans come to pass. That there's no one man incapacitated as to working out your plan. But every man together as a church, we behold Jesus. We see his vision. And everyone with ignited hearts. Hearts burning with conviction. With hearts burning to see the same fruits and helped by your Spirit, every one man, no one weakened, no one turned away, no one turned astray, every one man helped of God. We wish him in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's have a seat. Come to the end of our session tonight.